You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
This doesn't surprise me.
I think that sends the right message on so many different levels.
What a crock, eh?
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
One of the things I love about this show is you think you're going in one direction and then the audience takes you in a completely different direction. I had no idea how many people loved the McPizza.
I am one of them.
So if you're listening, Mickey D's, it's a fall opportunity for you to bring something back to the menu. Welcome into the roundtable. I'm Jay Michaels. That's Melissa Lantzman in for Ryan Doyle today. Joining us from the National Post is Christy Blatchford. Hello, Christy.
Hello, guys.
From the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, Bill Carroll. Hey, Bill.
Hello.
And commercial litigator at McCarthy Tetro and Venture at the Law Society of Ontario. We welcome back Patricia Lewis. Hello.
Hello. All-star panel today.
Indeed.
Jagmeet Singh wants to lower the voting age to 16. He says his opponents may be afraid of young people's power. We got a clip.
You can get a driver's license at age 16, you can work, and yet you can't vote. Mm. Is that something that you would promote during this campaign?
Yeah, it's in our policy book. It's something that we pass it in convention. I absolutely believe for all those reasons and more, I think if we had more younger voices having an influence on politics in terms of voting, it would change the way decisions are being made and hopefully would encourage decisions made in their interest. So I absolutely believe in it.
I'm absolutely on the other side of that. I think we should kick it up. Christy, what do you think?
I'm more with you than I am with Jagmeet. I think he hopes that if you can somehow enlist a great swath of people who are generally too busy being young and having fun to vote, he will manage to get some of those votes. I think it's entirely motivated by what he thinks is his self-interest. So I'd rather kick it up too.
Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, not only very busy with their lives being children, but also freshly brainwashed. No time to
figure out of their own,
right? He knows exactly how they're more likely to vote at 16, and that's the only reason it's in their policy at all. We all know that. It's just so obvious, almost not worthy of discussion. But if we're going to talk about it, do we really want 16-year-olds who barely know which side is up to vote? We have enough uninformed voters in this country as it is. Vote however you want, but do your homework. 16-year-olds don't have the time. They don't have the understanding. We had a 14-year-old in the House last week who was here visiting, and we were having a separate conversation about the education system in Ontario. Will there be a teacher strike? And from the 14-year-old's mouth came the words so eloquently, you know, this is a direct result of Doug Ford's cuts.
Wow.
And I thought, do you think the 14-year-old knows exactly what happened to the education budget that actually increased spending for education in this province? Do you think they have a clue of that? Or are they mouthing the words they've heard from some teacher or from some adult? They don't have a clue at 14. I wouldn't expect them to. They don't have a clue at 16. I wouldn't expect them to. They barely have a clue at 18.
So easily impressionable. What, 16, you think it's too young?
No, I don't actually. I think it's an interesting idea. I think if you can operate a motor vehicle, you can consent to sex at the age of 16, then why can't you vote?
Well, first of all, at 16 now, you're going to need at least 18 months that your parents can't sit with you in the car. So maybe we should have a parent stand with them and help them put the X on in the little circle. But come on. If anything, the driving age is too young in the province. Not the other way around.
And look at how Mr. Singh treated one of his younger members of the NDP caucus, Aaron Weir. Exiled him on no evidence of any bad behavior, solicited complaints against him. I mean, it is an outrageous story. It was in the news again this week because a former NDP MP dared to write about it and break ranks and be critical of it. But that's not how you treat young people.
I think age is arbitrary. I think we arbitrarily selected 18 as the voting age, and so I don't see why we couldn't consider 16. I think there's some benefits to it. You're right, they're in the education system, so maybe that's a
why
way for
eight?
Us to encourage
right.
them to actually participate meaningfully in our democracy later on.
If it's arbitrary, why not let them vote at 6?
Okay, let's move on
because
to
it's
a,
not arbitrary.
Let's move on to a different number. That number, 2005, where the following audio from a video that was posted to Twitter today by Liberal Cabinet Minister Ralph Goodale features a young Andrew Scheer, who today you probably know at this point, or maybe you don't, heads up the Conservative Party of Canada, detailing what he viewed then as the inherent qualities of marriage.
Two members of the same sex may use their God-given free will to engage in acts, to cohabit, to own property together. They may commit themselves to monogamy. They may pledge to remain in a loving relationship for life. In that sense, they have many of the collateral features of marriage, but they do not have its inherent feature. As they cannot commit to the natural procreation of children, they cannot, therefore, be married. How many legs would a dog have if you counted the tail as a leg? The answer is just four. Just because you call a tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. If this bill passes, governments and individual Canadians will be forced to call a tail a leg, nothing more.
Now, this, Christy, a video that has been pretty much playing on a loop on all of the major news stations. We've obviously reported it quite a bit today, and I don't know that it necessarily aged well, but is it unfair to bring this type of old footage up, considering that people's opinions can evolve? Although we don't know, because he hasn't spoken to it, if his has.
I don't think it's completely unfair. I just think it's low and typical of Mr. Goodale for being the mouthpiece on it. Lori Goldstein tweeted something that I thought encapsulated the whole thing. Problem, SNC-Lavalin. Solution, pride! You know, it's another liberal attempt to change the tune that they don't like by bringing this up. Now, Mr. Scheer is stuck with it, but it is worthy of note that when he voted against this, so did, I believe, 50 liberals who all shared similar reservations.
Ralph Goodale voted against same-sex marriage.
There you go.
And this is who they choose as their messenger? How dumb are they? Of all the people, they choose Ralph Goodale to tweet it out because he was shot down on Twitter immediately. You know what, though, guys? It's so cringeworthy to hear.
It is.
It really is. I just think, could I really vote, as much as I despise Justin Trudeau and the Liberals, could I really vote for this guy? Because it is a cheap shot. They're making fun of his religious views. It would be impossible to make fun of almost any other religion in their views. There's a lot of hypocrisy here. All of that stuff is troubling. But in the end, Andrew Scheer has not and will not distance himself from it because that's what he still believes. And that's fine. But why can't he, as someone who wants to be prime minister, show up at a friggin' pride parade because it's a human right? And it's a legal right in this country to get married and show that you stand by the law and you will support the law, whatever your religious views will be. Why can't he do what needs to be done if he wants to be the leader of the country? If he wants my vote, he's going to have to suck up his religious views and say, whatever I believe is not going to... I know he says those words, I'm not going to bring this up, but he can't demonstrate it. What is it that holds him back? It makes him look unbelievably homophobic, and I can't tolerate that in a prime minister. I just can't. So what are we left to do here?
So why he's not distancing himself is because he's trying to play both sides. And frankly, I think on issues of equality, you have to be very unequivocal about these statements. So
absolutely.
I think he needs to come out, distance himself from that from those statements. I think those statements were problematic in 2005, and I think they're certainly problematic now. And I think it's troubling that he won't come out and distance himself
and
from it.
And what about the other people who voted the same way? Are they all required to? I mean, I know Scheer wants to be the prime minister, so there's a somewhat elevated accountability here. And I don't disagree that he should say something definitive, such as, I voted against it, as many people did. My views have evolved or not, if they haven't, and I nonetheless support the law of the land. What he isn't required to do is make a sort of production of it by going to Pride.
The problem, Christy. These politicians, when they're running for office like this, they show up at the opening of an envelope. So it is a bigger statement not to go than it is to go. That's the problem.
I agree with that.
And you're
yes,
right. I don't think that anyone should have to go to the Pride Parade to show that they support the law of the land and support same-sex marriage. I don't think you should have to. But the reality is you do. He's stuck with this image. He looks archaic and out of touch with ordinary Canadians, especially in the center where he needs to win votes. His religious vote isn't going anywhere. They're not going to suddenly vote for the NDP. That's not going to happen. But he just has to be stronger on this because it does... I cringe to hear it. It's so terrible. And we desperately need a new leader in this country. And this guy's just not it.
Well, he's not it for you. I do not think you speak for the land.
No, I wish I could, though. But
so do I.
I'd be the only one to get to vote.
Thank you both. A couple of things we want to get into before we break at 6 for Dave Bradley's views on the news. This one has to do with a bit of a cycle breaking that's happening when it comes to how often we're changing our phones. We're finding out today that we're actually holding onto our phones longer than we used to. 47% of people that took part in a study of over 2,000 cell phone owners said that they kept their mobile phones for 3 to 5 years before they upgraded. 8% of them saying they kept their phone for 5 years, and 55% of people saying they expect to keep their current phone for 3 to 5 years before they upgrade. Again, I'll start with you on this one, Atricia. When it comes to your cell phone, when it comes to getting a new one, are you one of those people that looks at it as, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, or are you looking at the new shiny toy and wanting to get it?
I'm one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Though I have to admit, my phone is from my work, so I replace it when they decide it's time for me to replace it. But I think the real reason why people are hesitant to change their phone is I live with my phone. All of my pictures, my videos, my passwords, everything is saved on there, and it's such a hassle to have to change that.
See, that's something that I'm the one, Christy, that wants to change every time that I am told by my cell phone provider, hey, you're now eligible. I'm there the moment that they open because I want to get the new shiny toy. I want to get all the newest bells and whistles. How about you?
No, I'm like Atricia. My cell phone is a company phone. It's, I think, 6 years old now. It still works fine. So I'm in no hurry to get the new toy. I'll get it when my company says I need one.
I should have asked, by the way, and I'll go back to you, Atricia, for just a second. Do you know what kind of phone you have?
I have an iPhone XR.
The XR. Okay, Christy, what's your phone?
iPhone 6.
iPhone 6. Bill?
I think it's interesting that you said you've got all your stuff on there. You know, you don't want to lose it. That's probably why Apple announced, I think, just this week that they're going to make it easier to transfer all of those things from one phone to another. So obviously, you're probably right in the demo, and they understand that's how people are thinking. The other thing, though, for me that's changed is it used to be that if I had a year-old phone, the new phones were so much cooler than mine. Now the changes are kind of incremental, and it's hard to get excited about the technology. And I feel like my phone's good enough, and it has a headphone jack, so I'll just leave it the way it is.
You know, it's really interesting that you brought up the headphone jack thing, Bill, because you're not the first person to bring that up today. A lot of people mentioning it on the show and on our text board today as well. That really ruffled a lot of feathers for people, just that one little thing. And I don't think when you're a company like Apple, you look at losing a headphone jack, you look at it as gaining that whole earbud technology that people can't wait to jump on board, when really, I think sometimes when it comes to certain features, people want to stay traditional.
And they don't want to go out and have to buy new headphones.
That's a big part of it as well. All right, Christy Blatchford, Bill Carroll, Atricia Lewis, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
See ya.